is the voice of your soul, and feeling is the voice of the body. I'll say it again. Conscience is the voice of the spirit, your spirit. Reason is the voice of your soul, and feeling is the voice of your body. Amen. Christians should follow their conscience, their spirit man, right? Amen. That's what we need to be led by, not led by feelings or fleeces. We don't go off fleeces, right? Turn over to Proverbs 20:27 real fast, please. King James 5, yeah. The spirit of man is what? Amen. The spirit of man is what? Amen. Searching all, say all, the inward parts of the belly. Amen. Back then, they obviously had candles, but if we had it nowadays, it'd say the spirit man is the light bulb. Amen. Light bulb of the Lord. Amen. Searching all the inward parts of the belly. That's how we're led, by our spirit man. Amen. Our spirit man, the one on the inside of us, the real you. The real you is your spirit man. Remember Paul talked about, he said, whether in a body or out of body, I could not tell, God knoweth. Well, what does that mean? That means your spirit man looks exactly like your natural man. Because if he's looking at himself and he can't tell if he's in the body or out of the body, that means your spirit man looks just like you. Amen. Spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Amen. People are too body conscious, then spirit conscious. Amen. People are always talking about how they feel, or they feel the presence of God, whenever they should say that they're conscious of the presence of God, that they sense the presence of God, not always feeling. Because we always associate everything with feeling. And so now we're so body conscious when the Spirit of God talks to us or whenever we're praying. If we don't have a feeling after we said amen, I don't know if God heard me or not. So now we're working off feeling and not even off faith. Now I'm working off if I have a feeling or a tingling on the inside, I know God heard me. Well, what does that have to do, a tingling have to do with anything? Because faith, once you speak and say amen, that's it. You attach your faith to it, it's done, right? Amen. We don't work off feelings. We don't work, like if we pray and well, I don't think God heard me. Well, why? I just don't feel like he did. Well, what does that have to do with it? Because I thought God created us to do what with him? Fellowship, communicate with him, right? And so why would he not hear us whenever we're just wanting to talk to him in fellowship? Amen. We just allowed ourselves to become too body conscious because we say everything with, I don't feel like that, or I don't feel that, or this feeling and that's a feeling and over there's a feeling too. So feeling has been just dominated our speech, our language, so much to where we don't even operate unless we feel something. Amen. But is that how we're supposed to operate? Not at all. People let their feelings lead them instead of the Spirit of God. Amen. Smith Wigglesworth said, I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm moved only by what I believe, and I believe the Word of God. Amen. He said, I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm not moved by what I see. There was one time that he was in need of quite a bit of money. And he had this guy that he had fellowship with in a park, and he said he was loaded. But not one time, well, that guy actually started asking him, why are you so joyful? But yet Smith Wigglesworth had this dire demand for a financial thing at the time, but yet this man's like, why are you just so joyful all the time? So he obviously couldn't tell if something was wrong with him. Why? Because once you say amen. Once you start believing God for something and you attach your faith to it, you already know it belongs to you. But if you don't and you're working off feelings, I hope this comes true. And then you start walking around with one of these. That way somebody can ask you what's wrong. And then I can just unload on you. Or if you're in financial need, you know, you kind of walk around like that. That way somebody asks you and you can say, well, I need some money. Well, this whole time, now you're looking at this person to fill your financial need and not even looking at God anymore. Because if you was really looking to God, you wouldn't even be speaking about that. And you'd be joyful because you already know you have the answer. Amen. Hallelujah. It's good. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Smith Wigglesworth also said, I can't understand God by my feelings. Amen. I understand the Lord Jesus Christ by what the Word says about Him, and He's everything the Word says He is. Amen. Amen. I'm not moved by what I feel. So we're going to be there for a minute, I think. I'm not moved by what I feel. Well, I think I have a headache. Well, why? And does it belong to you? Amen. Anything that doesn't come from my Father, God, does not belong to me, and I won't accept it. Anything that does not come from my Father, God, I do not accept it and does not belong to me. I can accept it if I want to. It's just like a package. A UPS guy, well, we used to, at our old house, we was in a cul-de-sac, and on the Lippin Boulevard, there was the same address that we had. They'd accept our packages. Didn't belong to them, but they'd accept them. So I'd have to walk my little bow-legged self out there, knock on the door, say, hey, did y'all get a package? Oh, yeah. Help you. It'll help you. So a lot of times, because of feelings, we do accept a lot of stuff because either we think it belongs to us because of our age. I'm going to talk to this side for a minute. Amen. So sometimes we think stuff belongs to us because of our age or because of how we was raised. Amen. Or because, you know, my mom and dad wasn't rich. Oh, man. Amen. Hallelujah. It would really help you whenever you're believing God for something and you know it belongs to you. And after you prayed about it and everything, and because look, things will come up after you believe God for something, saying that what you're praying for or believing God for doesn't belong to you. Why? Because Satan doesn't want you to have anything. Period. Anything. Because number one, we're made in whose likeness and image? Who does Satan hate? So then who else does he hate? The same one that's created after him. So every time he looks at us, a child of God, he sees God. And so it infuriates him. And he don't want you having anything that God has. But we're heirs. We're king's kids. Everything God has belongs to us. But, I mean, if we don't know about it, then we can't accept it, right? It's like in the military. They would tell us, look, there were so many different benefits. But if you didn't ever go ask about them, they wouldn't tell you. There's a lot of things they'd tell you about. Don't get me wrong. You know, I'm not saying that they just try to get one over on you, but there's a lot of things that are out there for you, but if you never asked or researched it yourself, you'd never know about it. So how would I be able to access that kind of stuff if I don't even know it belongs to me? Or if I heard somebody else say, no, they don't do that kind of stuff, and I just took their word for it and never researched it myself. Hallelujah. So then the circumstances Satan will always make sure the circumstances say no, whenever you know the answer is yes. as long as you find scripture for it, as long as you know that God said, yes, it does belong to you. Amen. 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 Then you know you can have it, right? Yes. And it's funny because have you ever noticed whenever you're believing God for something, it does really seem like right before you receive it, that's when it really seems like this is not coming to pass. This is not coming into fruition. Why? Because Satan, if he can get you to start wavering, because right there is it. And if he knows he's been working on you and you've been strong and solid, you're like, no, it's mine. It belongs to me. Get behind me, Satan. And he knows you're right there at it. And so he just kind of brings on a little bit more. And if he knows he can get you to go, man, I have been believing for that for a while. I wonder if it is going to happen. Maybe it's my faith. Now you're questioning everything that you just prayed for. Now you're wavering. And somebody that wavers don't think that they'll receive what? Anything. Anything. Amen. We'll go forward real fast. Amen. Romans, please. Romans 8. We'll start about verse. That's a new word. You're welcome. Verse 14. Romans 8, 14. I'm going to read it to y'all out of the Phillips. Once you get saved, you got the Spirit of God on the inside of you, right? Do we really know what that means, though? This isn't right here, but do we really know what that means, though? The spirit and nature of God on the inside of us. Once we receive him as our Savior, right? Brother Hagin talked about in school, he said he barely passed. Barely. Like he said one grade that they gave him a point or a couple points because they were like, look, we could have skipped something. We could have messed up. We're giving you these extra points. That way you can go to the next grade. He said, I barely made it. Barely. Couldn't read hardly. He said, I barely made it. He said, as soon as I got saved, though, he said, I could read a book. Well, he said they'd actually try him out in class. They'd have him read a chapter. He'd get up and recite the entire chapter word for word. He said as soon as he got saved, he realized the nature of God that was on the inside of him. And he said, everything I read, I retain it immediately. And I can repeat it right back to you. Why do you think that he could quote 3/4 of the New Testament? 3/4 of it quoted. How many of y'all can do that? Nah, I can't. I can't even do a quarter. But yet he realized the nature of God that was on the inside of him. He said, a lot of people keep coming and asking me, hey, how do you memorize all that stuff? He said, I don't. I don't memorize it. I realize that the Spirit of God, the nature of God is on the inside of me. It's not me remembering everything. Once I get in tune with the Holy Ghost, he starts bringing it back up to me and revealing it to me. He said, and it just comes right out. He said, it's not me. He said, I ain't doing it here. It's the nature of God that's on the inside of us. And if we realize that, we wouldn't have issues. We wouldn't have problems remembering things because the Holy Ghost lives on the inside of us. He'll bring everything back to whose remembrance? Your neighbors? Ours, right? And I know it talks about that he'll bring everything back to your remembrance from the Word of God, but also anything else. You ask him, God, what was that? Our Holy Ghost, what is that? And he'll let you know. He'll tell you if you ask him. But how many of us ask him? Always go, man, I forgot that. Oh, it's probably the age. But yet people say it all the time, and so now their age is really affecting their mind. Or now their age is really affecting their body. Because they spoke it so much, they really believe it now. And now their faith is based on exactly what they're talking about, age and just downgrading. Not us, though, right? Amen. Where'd I tell y'all to go? Romans? Sounds good. All right. Romans 8:14. That really shocked me whenever I heard Brother Hagin say that. Because I was like, you know what? That is true. The nature of God's on the inside of me, so why, when I read stuff, I retain it? Amen. But we got to realize who's on the inside of us. Amen? We got to realize that, though. And stop thinking that we have to do certain things to, you know, work our mind, try to do these exercises to get a sharper mind. What does that have to do anything? Because what did the rich man say? Y'all remember the rich man and Lazarus? Y'all remember that? Whenever Lazarus died, where'd he go? To heaven, because it said the angels came, right? And it says the rich man, whenever they buried him down in hell, he looked up, right? So obviously, and he told him, he said, hey, send some people back to my brother so that they don't have to come here. Y'all remember? It's amazing that he remembered that he had brothers in hell. So why do we think that our mind, his mind was in the grave along with his body? Amen. All right. Amen. All right. Romans 8:14, right? I'm going to read it to you out of Phillips. It says, all who follow the leading. That's the key. All who follow the leading. Amen. The leading of God's Spirit are God's own sons. Nor are ye meant to relapse into the old slavish attitude of fear. Amen. And it's interesting that it says slavish attitude of fear, because it is a slave. Amen. It'll keep you in your house for the rest of your life. It'll keep you scared. They got so many different names for everything. Y'all remember that movie, What About Bob? That movie's hilarious. But what was he afraid of? I forget. He's like afraid of something. And I think, like, yeah, everything pretty much. Just afraid. Just wouldn't do stuff because I'm afraid something might happen. It'll keep you a slave. Amen. Attitude of fear, you have been adopted into the very family circle of God, and you can say with a full heart, Father, my Father. The Spirit Himself endorses our inward conviction that we really are the children of God. Think what that means. If we are His children, we share His treasures and all that Christ claims as His will belong to all of us as well. Yes, if we share in His sufferings, we shall certainly share in His glory. Amen. The King James says, for as many as are led by what? By their flesh? By their soul, their mind? By their body? By who? Who are they? That's pretty self-explanatory right there, just plain and dry. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Amen. For you have not received the spirit of what? Bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Amen. Turn over to 2 Timothy real fast, 1:7. Do we have the NIV? Will you pull that up, please? Second Timothy 1:7. It says, NIV, sorry. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and what? See, that's the Spirit of God on the inside of you. He's helping you. Because, see, your natural body wants to do stuff that ain't right. Your flesh wants to do stuff that ain't right. But the Spirit of God on the inside of you, if you'll listen to Him, every time He'll let you know, no, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that. But, you know, we can share our shear like our conscience to where we just kind of really don't hear him anymore. Why? Because we just constantly do what our flesh wants to. We constantly do what I want to do. Amen. Y'all all right? Amen. I looked up that self-discipline. It's the ability to control one's feelings and overcome one's weaknesses. The ability to pursue what one thinks is right despite temptations to abandon it. Amen. John 16:13, real fast, please. I'm going to start out in the Phillips, then you can go to the, we got the NLT. I'll do that one first, and then I'll do the NIV too, please. John 16:13. I'm going to start at verse 12. It says, I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. Yet when that one I have spoken to you about comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you into everything that is true. Amen. He will guide you into everything that is true. For he will not speak of his own accord, but exactly as he hears, and he will inform you about what is to come. He will bring glory to me, for he will draw, amen, on my truth and reveal it to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Will you pull that? I looked up the word draw, and it means to pull up or out, to raise from any depth. Amen. NLT, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will what? Into what? Calamity? Into turmoil? Into death? So then, if he'll lead us, guide us into all truth, then why do we allow our flesh to guide us a lot of times? Why do we allow our flesh to get us into situations? Just like whenever, you know, that person mouthed you, the Spirit of God on the inside of you said, don't say it. Don't say it. But yet we wanted to run our mouth. Amen? It's like, and then we open up a door. Then Satan has what? Access and opportunity. An opportunity. Amen. But the Spirit of God on the inside of us constraining us the whole time, telling us, don't do that. I wouldn't say that. Don't talk to your wife like that. Amen. Amen. Y'all all right? We'll get through it. Amen. He will guide you in all truth. He will not speak on him what? His own. But will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about what? About the what? Are you sure? Well, he doesn't talk to me about the future. Well, have you asked? And whenever I say ask, not just go, hey, Holy Ghost, what about the future? What's on TV? Because a lot of times, I mean, let's just get honest real fast. I'm just going to look down. When people say that they prayed about something, they mean I prayed at least 30 seconds about something. I didn't hear nothing, so I moved on. I don't know where that came from. I don't know where that attitude came from. Well, everything's an instant pudding these days. If it's not right now, I don't have time for that. But I got time to go sit down and watch it. A full season of something. We always have time for what we want to do. And when it becomes dire need, then we might make a little bit of extra time, but not too much, because I still got the TV show to watch. Not me, but people ain't here. Amen. But he will tell you about what? The future. The future. Brother Hagin talked about back in, I think it was, I forget when it was, 50s, 60s, maybe 70s. He said that it was earlier than that, 70s or 80s, I believe. He said that the Spirit of God on the inside of him told him, said, there's a recession coming, prepare for it. And he told him what to do to prepare for it. He said, and as soon as the recession hit, he said he was fine. Fine. A lot of people was going out of business and things like that, but he was fine. He said, it didn't affect me or faze me one bit. Why? Because if you're sensitive to the Holy Ghost, He'll always let you know what's going on. I don't know why we think that we're walking through this world blind. If you have the Spirit of God on the inside of you, you can know exactly what's going on. There's that whenever all of the girls was at the house, which only Layla's out right now. She was college and all that good stuff. But the Spirit of God, even now though, the Spirit of God will talk to me. Amen. Tell me things. Amen. Some things I won't tell them. Just let them. Because, you know, if the Holy Ghost tells you to say something, say it. But if you don't, don't. Or He'll stop talking to you about things. Amen. Because He don't need somebody just blabbing their mouth all the time. Amen. But the Holy Ghost on the inside of you will talk to you. He'll let you know things. If you ask Him, and spend time asking. Don't just say, hey, God, what's up? And then move on. Spend time. Spend a little bit of time. Amen. And find out. Look, you know, we talk about before you buy stuff, I'd ask God. And you know, I used to think like this too. Well, if I want it, I want it. Why do I have to ask God about it? Because first off, He knows if it's trash or not. Because that truck I bought, and before I asked God, I already told the guy, I'll buy it. And I messed up because the Spirit of God on the inside of me is like, you going to ask? Ooh, yeah. Should I buy this truck? He goes, no. Guess what I did? I bought the truck. Why did I buy the truck? Because I told Him I would. And you gotta be a person of your word. You have to be, especially if you want faith working for you. You have to be a person of your word. If you say something, you got to follow through with it. Amen. If it hurts you or not, if you say it, you got to go through with it. Amen. So that's why I've slowed down on whenever people say, hey, you want to go do this or do that? Let me get back to you. I don't just want to say, yeah, and then not be able to do it. Amen? Because I want to be a person of my word. I really do. Amen. But He'll tell us about the future. You know, I told y'all about whenever Chelsea, before she left Laughlin Ranch, she knew a couple years in advance. And she told me, she said, hey, I think I'm almost done. I was like, no, you ain't. Nuh-uh. You making money. You ain't almost done yet. But the time came. She's like, yeah, I believe it's time. I said, yeah, you are right. You are right. You need to go. Because there was a bunch of changes that came along and was just ridiculous, to be honest with you. And so she got out. But the Holy Ghost let her know a few years in advance. You think He's just going to do that to her and not everybody? But if we're so caught up with our natural body, if we're so caught up in our feelings and how I feel, and I just want to watch TV and not sensitive to the Holy Ghost at all, are you going to be able to hear Him? Because if we got so much stuff going on to where we can't even listen to the Holy Ghost, and then something goes on, why, you know, some people want to blame God. God, why'd you let this happen? There was this minister. He was about to leave. Well, they were in a hotel and they were leaving. And the Holy Ghost on the inside of him said, wait 10 minutes. And he said, we'll just plead the blood and we'll just go. And so they pled the blood over the situation and they left. His wife almost died. They did kill a person in the car in front of them because up around this mountain, they went around a corner and there was a wreck. They didn't know it, came around the corner and hit a car and actually killed the lady in front of them. His wife almost died. And he got hurt pretty bad. And then somebody says, well, why'd God let that happen? He didn't. He told him to wait. But if we override that and say, I'll be fine, now we're taking our life in our own hands. Whenever the Holy Ghost was trying to help us, because He'll let us know what's going on. I don't care what people think. I'm telling you right now, He'll let us know exactly what's going on. As long as we're sensitive and able to listen to the Holy Ghost, the inward witness, the man on the inside of us, the real you. Y'all remember Paul, whenever he is on the ship, he said, hey, sirs, I do what? I perceive. He didn't say, hey, God told me. He didn't say, hey, the Holy Spirit told me about this. He said what? He said, my inward man, the real me, picked this up. There's some harm coming in front of us. And what does he mean, I? You thought about that? That's the real him. The real Paul. The man on the inside. He said, sirs, I perceive. He didn't say, sirs, God told me, did he? Did he say, sirs, the Holy Ghost just let me know? What'd he say? I perceive. I've picked this up. See, people, if they're sensitive to the Holy Ghost, they are able to pick up a lot of things. They really are. You can sense when something's going on. You can sense if somebody's in trouble or whatever like that. You'll just kind of perceive it if the Holy Ghost doesn't tell you. You pick up on it. Why? Because you're sensitive to spiritual things. You're not so sensitive to body things. You're not so sensitive to flesh things. Too many times people are just body driven or flesh driven. They do stuff based off how they feel. They do stuff based off the stock market. They do stuff based off of how their bank account looks. Why don't we be led by the Spirit of God instead of how we want to do things? Because that's the best way every single time. You think he'd lead me somewhere so that I would lose all my money, so I would get sick, so all of my family would die? For somebody to think that he would, that's ignorant. Amen. Holy cow. Almost 8 o'clock. Man. We ain't got nowhere. Yeah, we did. We got exactly where the Holy Ghost wanted to go. Amen. Where are we at? Okay. 16:3. That's a good one. Did I already read this one? What about the NIV? What is it? Please. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he what? We really need to understand that. He will guide you. He'll guide you in every business deal. He'll guide you in every single purchase. He'll guide you in everything. He will guide you if you allow him. And the best way to explain, well, how do I know if I heard the Holy Ghost or if it's just me? Yeah, Brother Hagin, he gave an excellent analogy, and it's not an analogy because it happened to his wife. So the Spirit of God, he knew that they were supposed to go pastor at this church in this town. And he told his wife, hey, pray about this, see what you sense. See what you get, you know. And so she prayed about it. And about a month went by, and he said, well, did you get anything? She said, yeah, but I think it's just me. He goes, well, what do you mean you think it's just you? Because she is like, well, I think we're supposed to go there, but I think it's just me. And he was like, well, what do you mean you think it's just you? He said, let me ask you a question. Do you want to move there? She said, Lord, no. I don't even really want to be in that town at all. He said, so why do you think that you, it's just you? Because if you know that you don't want to move there, why do you think it's just you then? He said, that's the Spirit of God on the inside of you. Amen. Amen. Are y'all all right? Yeah, we just thinking. Amen. I'm thinking too. Amen. He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. Is yet to come. It's just like that truck that I was going to get another truck, but I just wasn't settled on it. And just on the inside of me, I just wasn't settled. I wasn't. So I was just kind of waiting. I was just waiting. And then this truck showed up. Paid half price for a truck with 7,000 miles on it. Amen. Hallelujah. So if we'll listen, if we'll pay attention and not just get, well, I want this. Well, ask the Holy Ghost real fast. Should I do this or should I wait? What should we do here? Should we purchase or not purchase? Do we need to sow here? Do we need to sell this? What do we need to do? And he'll let us know every single time. I told y'all that, you know, mom and dad, they have those businesses back home. And I worked the sand plant down on the Arkansas River. We had a big motor and everything like that. And we had to suck sand out for the concrete plant. And the packing on it, it just messed up one day. And I was down there messing around for a few hours. And dad shows up. I'm like, oh, Jesus. He's like, well, what are you doing? I was like, I can't get this thing to prime. He's like, well, did you ask the Holy Ghost to help you? He said, don't just stand around doing nothing. Ask the Holy Ghost on the inside of you how to fix it, and he'll let you know. Amen. You know, there are a lot of things that I had no idea what I was doing. Ask the Holy Ghost, and he'd let me know every single time. It's those times whenever I think, I could probably figure it out, and it just goes like this. What happened? Chelsea broke it. Chelsea, come look what the kids did. I'll snitch them out fast. I ain't scared. He will do what, though? Guide you into all truth. He will guide you. We need to understand that the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God on the inside of us, he will guide us. We don't have to wander around thinking, oh, I wonder what we're going to do today. For a Christian to say that they don't know what they're doing or that they're just wandering around is just, I don't want to say nothing. Amen. Because if they have the Spirit of God on the inside of them, the Holy Ghost, amen, they should have a little bit of direction then. It's just saying that I don't feel like spending time asking God what I should do. I want to do what I want to do. Later on, we'll start finding out, maybe. If I get in a bind or something, you know, then I'll go to God and say, hey, what happened? How do I get out of this? Amen. Because there was a couple times that's happened to me. Look, y'all think I'm just talking to y'all about other stuff. I'm talking, pretty much I'm explaining my life story to y'all, and I just ain't telling me. How do you think I learned a lot of this stuff? And another way that really helped me to be able to listen, to be in tune with my spirit, man, was I'd go fishing by myself. That way I learned. I learned what the voice sounds like. Amen. Because there's many voices in the world. Amen. None without signification. But we know the voice of the good shepherd, don't we? Amen. And the voice of another we what? Will not follow. Amen. And so I'd go fishing. I'd cast out in the pond, and I'd start catching fish, and then all of a sudden the fish would stop biting. And so I'd go, all right, Holy Ghost, what lure do I need to grab next? You're crazy, Ricky. It worked every time. And it really helped me to be able to listen a lot better, get more in tune with that. Not just assume, well, that maybe that's just me. Because, I mean, if you ask a lot of Christians right now, do you know the voice of the Holy Ghost, or do you think it's just you? It would be, it's just me. Hey, man, y'all all right? Look, if y'all throw anything at me after church, it's on. No, I'm playing. And so I'd switch lures. He'd say, grab that one. I'd grab it. And the first cast, maybe the second cast, throw it out there and just start catching bass wide open again. I was like, this is the craziest thing. Son, I'm having fun. I was out there by myself just having a ball. And then all of a sudden, the fish would just stop biting, just like that. It's like, this is crazy. All right, Holy Ghost, what lures do I need to grab now? Son, here we go again. But I was teaching myself to listen. Listen, pay attention, Ricky. That way, whenever a situation that you do need to know an answer to comes up, you know the voice. You know exactly what it sounds like now. Now you're not second-guessing yourself going, maybe that's just me. Should I do that or should I not do that? No, because I've been listening this whole time, so now I know. It's like your parents. All of us ain't real young, so all of us, you know, except you, you're probably young. You like, no, I'm joking. I'm joking, Jim. But playing outside or playing down the block with our friends, all it would take was your mom just yell your name. or just say, hey, you knew exactly whose voice that was. And so you know it's sprint time, or I'm going to pay some consequences when I get there if I drag my feet. So it was just every man for himself. You heard the, all right, it's time to eat. You just see all of us just like quail. Him! Amen. John, can you pull that up in the Amplified, please? No, go to John 14. Sorry. Let's go to John 14 real fast. Maybe we'll finish. Yeah, we'll have to finish this next week. Ain't no way we're going to finish it. Amen. Where are we at? John 14, 16. Yeah. Can you pull that up in the NIV first, please? John 14, 16. John 14, .16. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you what? Another advocate. To help you to do what? To do what, though? To help you. And he will be with us forever. But he will do what? He will help us if we ask. He's the perfect gentleman. He's not just going to bully his way into anything. He will help you and be with you forever. Next, please. 17. The spirit of what? Truth. Amen. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and what? Will be in you. Can you pull it up in the NLT, please? And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never, never, amen, leave you. Amen. Pull that up in the he is the Holy Spirit who leads into what? The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. Amen. This one minister said a lot of people wouldn't know the Holy Ghost if he was walking down the street with a red hat on. Amen. But you know him. Say, we know him. Amen. Because he lives with us now and later will be in you. Amen. Go to the Amplified, please. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another what? Comforter, a counselor, a helper, an intercessor, an advocate, a strengthener, and a standby. So that covers everything that we would go through in life. It's already on the inside of us. But instead of asking him, we'll go to somebody else for counseling. For what should we do now? Amen. He'll give you another comforter. Amen. Counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby. That he may remain with you forever. Amen. The advocate in the NLT, in the actual Greek, it's paraclete. Amen. It's paraclete. And it means an advocate, one called to aid or support. Amen. One called to aid or support, hence the counselor, comforter, or intercessor, a term applied to the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's one called to aid or support. Amen. That's the Holy Ghost. To aid and support us. Amen. To help us. He's our helper, right? Amen. And so if we ever run up against anything or we have questions, he's our helper. He'll let us know. He'll let you know what to invest money in. He'll let you know what to either purchase a house or not purchase a house. He'll let you know because there's some things that you can't see with a natural eye. Oh, and another reason why that truck, y'all remember when I said I'll buy it before I asked them? I got that truck. It started leaking oil, and the transmission started just leaking fluid everywhere. See, he knew that. But on the outside, man, everything looks good. Man, this thing looks pristine. Yeah, man. Then you start driving it, and it just goes like this. See, it's trying to help me, trying not to get me to invest in something that's just going to be a piece of junk. Save your money, and I'll let you know which one to get. That way it's better than this one. That way you're not constantly, it's not just sitting in your garage and having a mechanic on it. Because, let's face it, well, I ain't going to say that. I was going to say I'm not a mechanic, but I got the helper on the inside of me. Amen. I got the helper on the inside of me. Amen. All right, we'll stop. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, Father God,